Uncommon Faith. I'm Amber.
And I'm Ashley.
Today we have former case manager in the criminal justice system turned life coach, Tabitha Perry. Welcome to the show, Tabitha.
Thank you.
So, how's your day going today?
Yeah, we do this all the time. How's your day, Tabitha?
It is amazing because I get to be with you too.
Woohoo!
Yay! Yeah, we're really excited to have you on because I feel like you have really great energy and you'll bring a lot of great things to our listeners.
Well, thank you. It's a privilege.
Tell us a little bit about what you used to do and how it brought you into being a life coach now.
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually started working in the criminal justice system when I was 20. I started out as a probation and parole intern. Can you imagine having like a 20-year-old that you report to when you've like just done like 20 years in prison and you come out and you're like, oh, wait, man. You're in charge of whether or not I go back?
Ooh, yeah,
that was pretty insane. Great.
I mean, I know what I was doing at 20.
No, right? No, no, no.
I was working at Target. That's what I was doing at 20.
So I got my bachelor's in criminal justice and just have always had a heart for working with people who are marginalized, who are ignored, who are forgotten, because I really believe everyone has a purpose and some people make poor choices. I've made poor choices and the consequences are different for all of us, right? And so people in the justice system just, as I tell my kids, like it's just a long time out that they go to so they could think about what happened in their life. So I have always just loved working with people. So I worked in a juvenile detention center as a transporter. So I'd pick up kids after they got arrested and take them to whether it was like a long-term facility. And it was great because I could keep them quiet because I'd play country music if they would act up. And they all hated country music. So yes, yes. So oh, I knew how to work
no.
with them. Anyhow, so I eventually became a case manager in a mental health unit and was able to really have the opportunity to encourage women to like make good choices, whether they were in prison or not. Some of them were getting out, some of them were staying in for a long period of time. And really just comes from having the heart of everyone has a purpose and everyone can turn their life around. And just because you did something in the past doesn't mean that that defines you for the rest of your life.
Did that ever take a toll on you mentally and emotionally?
Oh, yes, girl. Like so, so, so much. Although I had good boundaries in some areas, I definitely poured out so much. I didn't pour back into myself. And so I had a lot of mental toll. I also didn't trust people. Honestly, all of the guys that I dated, I did a background check on like every single one of them because I'm like, surely every single person has like some type of criminal offense because that was just who, like the people I was surrounded by, right? But that's not the truth.
Yeah. See, it's not abnormal.
Right? Yeah, you just let me know.
Yeah, it's not abnormal to do that, Amber, to check people
exactly.
out. See? Everybody does it.
Where have you been the last 10 years of my life? I'll date someone. I'll find out their Instagram. And 2 seconds later, she's already on it. She's like, did you know they have babies from 4 different mamas? Like, oh, crap. Like,
that's a good friend for you that's able to do the research, right? Yeah.
It is. It absolutely. Yes.
That specific scenario actually never happened. There has been times where she's like, oh yeah, this guy's really cute. And I look him up and I'm like, you know, he's married. And she's like, dang it. So like, that's like, it keeps her in line. So she's not going after married men. Right.
I would never. Thanks.
I know. I'm just saying like, cause you don't do your due diligence.
I don't research and I probably should. I'm the worst.
Yeah. Those guys. Yeah. I mean, most guys can be trusted, most cannot. And so you kind of have to, you kind of have to check it out and see what they're hiding.
Yeah. So I'm curious, what was it like for you working in the criminal justice system, being a very beautiful woman? How is that?
Yeah, it was very effective. They listened.
Wait, did you only work with women or did you work with men and women?
I honestly, I switched. I worked with women first, and then I was like, I kind of want a challenge. Like, let's go work with the men. And I did like working with the women a lot better because the men, it was just a little bit harder to be like, now, like, dude, like, stop talking like that. Like, not appropriate, like, continuously having to call them out. But honestly, some of the women too were disrespectful, and I had to keep them in line as well. Yeah. But it, you know, I love surprising people. I love walking into a room and they're like, oh, who's this little girl thing? Like, what is she going to teach me? Right. Yeah. And I may not teach them anything, but I'll listen to them and I will give them the honor and the respect that they deserve. And that to them was like something that they really hadn't ever had. And they judged me more than I judged them. Right. So they just assumed that they kind of knew me and what I would offer them. And really, I offered them a listening ear and just encouragement. And I mean, I wasn't perfect at it by any means and struggled, but it was actually an asset. And as I had to keep good boundaries, and I had really great relationships with all of the correctional officers as well. So if there were any issues, I knew.
Well, I mean, that's amazing. Most people have a hard time listening to others. So to be able to be in that dynamic and have someone that these women or men can rely on to listen to them, because that's rare to find. It's rare to find in the outside world, let alone in the system. So that's amazing that you were that ear for them, because I know it's hard.
Female or male, like, grow attached to you inappropriately and stuff?
Yes. Yeah.
I watch a lot of TV. Yeah. Sorry.
They're I love it. Okay. It may probably didn't look like it did on TV, but when I worked in the mental health unit, obviously there was a lot of personality disorders. And with personality disorders, there's a lot of manipulation. And so there had to be some very strong boundaries created, as well as just consistency. And I had to be very careful of the information I gave. And that was an interesting twist to go from working in the prison system, right, to being a life coach. So I had to keep everything buttoned up. Like, they could not know anything about me. And then as a life coach, like, you're supposed to kind of share a little bit about who you are and relate to people. So it's actually still taking me a lot of time to figure out how to be vulnerable and feel safe about it, because for so long it was how I protected myself, like, physically, emotionally, mentally.
So what was it in your life that made you want to be, like, I know you said that it was, you've always liked helping people and whatnot. Like, was there specific things in your life that led you to that?
Yeah. So I'm an only child, but my mom did a great job of gathering kids in my neighborhood for me to grow up with. And I grew up with, I call my brother Alex, and we started, like, we knew each other at 3, and he'd spend time at our house. I'd spend time at his house. Anyhow, at 14, he was making some poor choices and ended up in juvenile detention center, and kind of continued that life up till about 5 years ago, honestly. And he's doing great now. He's doing amazing. Single dad, just, like, phenomenal man. But I knew who he was. He was my brother. Like, he just kind of had some, like, crappy things happen and made some poor choices. But I knew his heart, and I knew he liked to play video games, and I knew he was good at math, and I knew he had a weird sense of humor that I totally got. And so I knew that there were other people like him in there. And so because I was kind of a good kid, I got to actually go see him in the juvenile detention center, which usually you have to be over 18. But I was a minor, but they still let me in because they wanted me to, you know, just continue a relationship with him. Well, I found out that there was a ton of kids in there that I knew from school. And so I was like, oh, that's where you've been. Like, oh, there's all these people. And I knew that they were all awesome, right? I knew them from school. I knew their hearts. So really that kind of is what motivated me. And also like being an only kid, like I was lonely a lot. And I know when you're in prison and in isolation, like you're lonely. And I just really don't want people to ever have to struggle with that.
Yeah. That's great. I mean, not great for all those people, but I mean like great that it turned into, you know, such a good career move for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talk about I know you talked a little bit about your transition into being a life coach. How long have you been a life coach?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've had my business for 2 years, but honestly, I've really been coaching people for 15 plus years. I just didn't really realize mm-hmm. that's what I was doing. Whether I was in like a case management role or I was in a counseling role, even when I was a counselor, you know, the difference between counseling and life coaching is a counselor looks at like in the past, right? And helps you heal from those wounds, which is mm-hmm. essential for moving forward. Whereas a life coach helps you move forward. So most of us need both of those in our lives. Like I have had my counselors as well as my life coaches to kind of keep me together and keep me moving forward. And so being mm-hmm. able to kind of really utilize those skills has really been helpful and really encouraged me to want to just continue helping people move forward. Working with people in the justice system, you know, as well as in the mental health field is really hard and draining. And so it was kind of a shift of working with people who wanted to make good choices in their life, wanted to move forward, didn't have such huge barriers that their only barrier kind of was themselves and their own mindset. And so that's what kind of helped me make that change to becoming a life coach. And really, I wanted to be able to have the flexibility of staying home with my kiddos. My husband has, you know, a really stressful job and I wanted to be able to support him. And I love order and organization. So keeping our house going in a, like a good, smooth system is really important as well. So that requires time and effort.
Yeah. So you work mainly, I mean, you work with everybody, but who are the types of clients that you get a lot?
Yeah. So right now, the type of client I get would be, let's call her Stephanie. And she is probably around 35 and she has had a successful career in the past, maybe kind of stayed home for a while, but wants to go back to work. And she is just wanting to grow, but doesn't even know necessarily how and feels guilty about it. As many of us do, putting time and effort and money into ourselves. And so helping the Stephanies, helping the gals who are in their mid 40s, late 50s, where their kids are kind of transitioning out of the house. And all of a sudden they're like, who the heck am I? I just spent my whole life, you know, helping my husband in his career and helping my kids. Like what am I supposed to do with myself now? For anyone kind of that fits into this, what am I supposed to do now? I want to grow. I want to like continue to step into like God's purpose for me, but I'm not even sure what that is because I've forgotten who I am. So helping create order to help them figure that out is really important.
Why do you think, because we've talked about this before in another episode, why do you think that women, like what, like if it was, you know, from childhood, like if it was like from our example, from our own mothers, like what has made us want to have it all at the same time?
Mm-hmm. Well, we see men and we're like, oh, they seem to have it all. They can have the career and the family and all the things. But for women, we were created differently. And it's really important to know that we can have a version of all, but we have to be really aware of what that clarity is and what God wants for us, because there's a lot of things that I would like, but if it's not aligned with God and what he wants for me, like it's not going to be aligned. It's not going to work out. I'm going to meet a lot of resistance. So really helping women identify who they are, what they want and how they are going to get it is really, really important. And identifying their values, like even just coming up with a contract. So I have a contract that I am Tabitha Perry, and I am a strong and courageous, bold, consistent child of God. And I come back to that when I feel lost, when I feel chaotic, when I feel out of order, And I know that I have the capabilities of moving forward. So really helping women figure out who they are is essential for building on top of what it is that they even want and then how to get it. And then they get their version of having it all.
Yeah. Because, I mean, for me personally, like before, I was all about like, you know, I did a stay-at-home mom. I wasn't really like, I didn't have a job. I had the things that I was interested in doing, but I was like, oh, I never want to be busy. I never want to be so busy that I forget about other people in my life and whatnot. Mm. And now in my 30s, just like, I think kind of COVID, like being stuck at home and doing all that. After that, I was like, let's cram everything in and put everything on my plate. And not say no to anything. Have you dealt with a lot of like with your clients, like especially after COVID, having that like almost kind of like a midlife crisis in a way, where they're just like, let's just do everything. We need to do everything all at once.
Yeah. And it's been an interesting mix of, oh man, like I really like this break and I'm not going to put as many things in my life to, oh my gosh, the scarcity mindset. I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to go do all these things. I'm just going to say yes to every single thing. And that's actually more the majority of the women is they're high achievers. They want to do tons of things. And so they want to say yes. But the problem is that every time we say yes to something, we're saying no to something else. And that no could potentially be more aligned with what God's wanting us to do. And so I really encourage women to evaluate how much outflow they're doing in a day versus how much inflow is coming in, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, are you taking time to read your Bible? Are you taking time to exercise, rest, fill your mind, like read positive books, listen to positive music as much as you are running around, dropping off kids, doing this side hustle, doing this, doing that. It's just finding that balance, and balance looks different for each of us. And we really can't compare what it looks like for people around us. And as I am learning myself, we can't compare to what used to be, right? Pre-2020, mm-hmm. even what our lives look like when we were in our 20s, that is just different than what it is now that we're in our 30s, now that we're in year 2022. And instead of reflecting back on, man, I just wish I could be like that. It's like, okay, what is it now? And what do I want to make it be? And focusing on the future and what you have control over.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still not managing that well. I just keep adding, and I don't know how to shut my brain off either. Mm-hmm. And where before it was like,
that is so hard.
Yeah, before it was more like, you know, watching TV or whatever. Now it's just like constant, like, okay, what is the next idea that I can have? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what's interesting too, is that that can be a distraction technique that our brain uses, is to create all these shiny squirrels to be like, oh, there's this. And then there's this. And then there's this. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it's distracting you from actually moving forward and getting some depth in your life and like doing the hard things, those things just kind of seem more fun. And then we focus on that. And then we feel overwhelmed because we're constantly literally chasing shiny squirrels versus putting in that same effort into like doing that hard thing that's going to get you further towards your goal. Yeah. But it's so hard.
What do you feel like sabotages most women's goals or people's goals? Say you're set up, you have this plan going on, and then what are they doing that's ruining that plan?
That is such a good question. Biting off more than you can chew. Women are amazing. Women can accomplish so much. I mean, we grow life in us. But sometimes we just think that we can do way more than what the hours are and what the energy is. And then we feel like we're failing, even though we completely created this abstract goal of like, but I should be able to do it. Well, not even Superman could do what you just wanted to do. So sabotaging is that. And that is why I, you know, really, really teach small little edits in our life. And when you can create small little edits, then they get bigger and bigger and bigger results. And then you, it's just more achievable. And when you do mess up, you know what you could tweak versus like a bigger thing. And you're like, I'm not even sure where to start. Like, where did I even mess up? And so when it's right. the small edits, it's a little bit more achievable.
So let me ask you this, because this is the type of person I am. My house has to be clean and my car has to be clean before I can accomplish anything else. Is that normal? Is it good? Is it good? Is it normal? Literally, I feel like I cannot get anything else done throughout my day. I can't make the business calls. I can't do anything if there's no cleanliness, I guess you could say, or organization in my life.
Ah, got it. Okay, well, let me ask you this. Is it serving you? Is it working for you how having the house clean at that level and having your car clean at that level?
I mean, I feel better.
Are you getting to your goals?
No, either way.
Oh, and it is so hard. It's so hard to look at this. And yeah. You're the only one that can really, you know, decide if it's working for you. I love my house being clean and my car being clean, but yeah. I've also had to release it and realize that it was my own control issues and anxiety mm-hmm. that I was eliminating by focusing on the things I can control, like my dirty plate here that driving me crazy that I would like to go put in the, you know, the sink. But I had to prioritize what was more important. I needed to be here and I needed to take a couple breaths before we started this podcast. So instead of walking all the way up and cleaning the dish, I had to kind of move that anxiety and like know that this priority is better and it's going to move me forward in my goal.
Yeah. I was going to say for me, it's most likely a distraction. I feel like I do that so that way I don't necessarily have to get all the hard stuff done because I know how to clean. I can do that. Yeah. So I feel like that's the issue. But are there other women like that that feel that they have to have their house clean?
Yeah, I'm raising my hand.
Okay, I'm glad I'm not that she's raising her hand. I am so glad.
Well, no, I am too, for sure. For sure.
And do you guys feel like it's a distraction? It's like you're doing that because you know you have all these other things to do. You just don't want to deal with those other things. They take more mental energy.
Sometimes, like I heard somewhere else that like when you have a lot of clutter, like it can clutter your brain. So, you know, I recently literally just like wiped everything off of my desk, like decorative wise, so that I have a clean space. And I feel like I work better and function better when it's clean and organized. I mean, the rest of the house is a hot mess. it does make me feel better. But I also learned that, yes, in a way, certain things that need to meet that I need to be distracted from, maybe like an emotional situation, when I'm starting to like clean and deep clean, that's a way for me to control. You know, like for instance, there's been stories that I've heard back in high school of girls with eating disorders or self-harm. Like it was a way for them to control something when they felt out of control in other ways. So I take from both. Like I need to be able to function, but then also I can use cleaning as, yes, a distraction so that I can control something. And you deep clean though. Like she says, I can't, if I'm cleaning, I'm deep cleaning. I'm like, well, I can't sit there and deep clean.
So like if I start cleaning my house and I start in my kitchen, I will literally have to organize every cupboard and make sure like every single detail in the kitchen's done. That way I don't have to come back and do it later because I just feel unaccomplished if I don't. Anyways, we'll have to do a whole story on that one. But I have another question for you. So being a follower of Christ and having the title that you have, is there something that you say specifically to encourage women to listen to what God is telling them to do in their life versus what you think could be done properly or what they feel could be done properly? Do you talk to them about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I incorporate prayer in all of the sessions that I have, as well as encourage the gals to really just take some time to connect with God. So something that I've done, and I do yearly, sometimes twice a year, when I'm really on it, is actually I take little mommy mini vacations, and I go by myself and I go to a hotel room, and I have two nights alone by myself. Again, only child. I love to be alone. It's my thing. I wasn't aware when you had kids and you got married, you never got to be alone. I'm glad I didn't know that, because I may have questioned that. So anyhow, I go away. So I encourage my clients to take time, and literally, if they can, go be quiet, put themselves in a new environment to allow themselves to hear what God has to say. Because it doesn't matter. I can give them a to-do list. Anyone can go on Pinterest and print out the perfect schedule, print out the perfect recipes, the workout plans. Like, it's all there. But yeah, if it doesn't connect in your heart, if it doesn't feel aligned with who God made you and what he wants of you, you're not going to do it. And you may not even do it if you know, because it's hard. And we would rather clean than do hard things.
Absolutely. Well, that's good to know, because I think a lot of us, we tend to want to do our own way and our own things instead of asking for that guidance first and what is best for our lives. Because again, control.
It's so true. Oh my gosh, control. And something that I've learned too is I've been, you know, developing my character. I always just want my character to continuously look like Jesus, right?
Right.
And I want to make sure I go to him first versus asking like permission later to like bless something. So right. If I'm going to be making a big decision, and for the listeners, if you've got like things that you are making big decisions about, go to God first, because he is going to help clarify. Or here's also the deal, which is kind of hard too. Sometimes he just wants you to choose. There's not a right or wrong. Yeah. It's not an obedience thing. Sometimes he's just like, it's all right. I love you. You're doing good. Like, just make a choice. But it's being able to walk a line with him and know, oh no, this is an obedience thing. I need to not do that, or I definitely need to do that, versus like, I can do A or B and it doesn't matter. God's going to bless either.
Yeah. That's awesome. Now, what do you enjoy most about your career choice?
Ooh, let's see. This is such a good question. I enjoy, and it's so cliche, I enjoy meeting people. I enjoy hearing what makes people tick. I love to hear how people are able to just love God in their own way, and how they have experienced him in his life. And so being able to be a life coach that doesn't necessarily have to work with someone who's a Christian, but it does come up because that's part of who I am, is just that ability to be able to bring him up and focus on what's most important. And that's God, and honoring him.
That's great.
That's awesome.
I did have a question about, you were talking about small edits. Can you clarify, like, give me an example of what a small edit would be for somebody.
So a small edit could be simply as deciding that you are going to do one thing a day, and you are going to do it no matter what. If you have to stay up till 11 o'clock to get that one thing done. So whether it's the laundry, whether it's contacting that really hard client, whatever the thing is like following through with it. And that's just like one little edit, and that's building self-trust, because self-trust is what gets you through the next day to the next day. So that way you can be able to endure and have the capacity for harder and harder things. One of the main little edits that I always encourage, that nobody ever likes to hear, is consistent bedtimes and consistent morning wake up. And again, like we've talked about, there's a lot of things in life we can't control, but the things that we can control is when we rest our body. And that is so important. There is a reason why in creation, God took a whole day to rest. Like, he did not have had to have done that, but he knew that we needed that as humans. And so creating those little edits, it's just a small little change, a small little tweak in your life that will help you get closer to the person that you really want to be, or like the results that you want.
Yeah. I've been trying to do that lately. I'm doing pretty good with the bedtime, but the morning, I am not a morning person. I think it's ungodly to wake up early. It's just gross. It's disgusting. Like, Because
I won't tell you what time I wake up every morning then.
Oh gosh, what time? No, you have to tell me now.
5. Mm. Every morning. Yeah. Okay, that's not true. Sometimes I let myself sleep in. No. I like 6.
Till 6.
I used to be like that. I was that person. Not anymore.
But there's seasons too, right? Seasons where you need rest. Yeah. Your body needs to rest.
Tell that to my 7-year-old. Yeah. He does not
rest. I know. It is a learned behavior. Sleep and rest is all learned. There are, now, genetically, which is kind of interesting, I took this genetic test. I'm actually predispositioned to be a night owl. Who knew, right? But because of how nature versus nurture, right? My parents always had me go to bed early, and so I got up early. And so that's just literally how I've lived my 36 years of life. So it is something that can be trained. It's just hard work and really lame. And when our kids, it's so hard for sure. But I'll tell you what, my kids know that there is rest time Saturdays and Sundays from 1 to 2. And it is glorious. And they go to their room and they do whatever they do in their room. That's quiet time. But it's something that I'm trying to teach them to do because it's taken me so long to slow my body down, my mind down, that I'm trying to create that kind of block in the day of like, okay, reset. Now I'm ready to go for the rest of the day.
Yeah. We've had to actually try and tell my 7-year-old that too, like just last night, because my husband is doing this thing where he's not going to watch TV for the month of February. And I'm like, good for you, dude. But that's just a way for me to like shut my brain off to everything going on for me and watch something. But so we're borrowing, because we don't have video games in our house. So we're borrowing one kind of to test it out and see how they do with it. But, you know, he just has to play. My youngest, he has to play with somebody. He just feels like he has to have people with him constantly. And we're like, okay, we're gonna read. You've had enough of that time. Like, you can read or you can go play in your room. He's like, but I want to be with you guys. And I'm like, it's okay to have alone time. And to let your body rest and reset, because you can't have socialization constantly. Like, you have to give your,
you. Gotta, sure, you can.
Will you say that? No, you can't have it constantly. You have to have a brain break. Even now, they're doing that in schools. Like, the kids like will have brain breaks and they'll do like a dancing thing or whatever. Because you gotta, you know, God says to rest your brain. In your body.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you tell so far how different me and Amber are?
I love it. And that's what makes you guys amazing friends.
Night and day. Night and day. I love it. She keeps me afloat, not going to lie. So for our listeners that don't know, can you tell them a little bit about your website?
Yes. Yeah. So it's tabithaperry.coach. And it has lots of pretty pictures of me. I had an amazing photographer, by the way. And honestly, yes. Getting the right photographer can make you feel like $1 million.
Yeah, you have some excellent, excellent headshots.
Thank you. I do not look like that all the time. So somewhat false advertising, but you know, it was fun. So they can find out about me there. I have a podcast as well called The Life Edit Podcast with Tabitha Perry, which will eventually be on my website too. And then I also have a No Guilt Book Club that is on the website.
That's the one.
Yes. The No Guilt Book Club.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. So I don't know about you, but I like to do things well. And I always love to join book clubs, but then felt really guilty if I like missed like reading the whole book. Or if I couldn't remember everything, I don't know. There just always felt like so much pressure and so much guilt. But I really like to read and I like to discuss things because I know that helps me understand it better. And I like being in groups with women. All that to be said, I'm like, why don't I just create a book club where the whole point is like no pressure. You come as you are, right? Whether you got a messy bun in your jammies or you're looking fly, like it doesn't matter. You come as you are. And we read really cool personal development books. So this year, I've got a bunch of really great books lined out. Like February, we're reading about confidence, the confidence code, which is phenomenal. It's about women and how their confidence looks different than men's confidence. I've also got books on money mindset, which is really huge for women. I've got this pile over here. We've got how to have more fun, learning about the Enneagram. And the whole point is to bring women together and to encourage them to continue to grow. We are not supposed to be the same that we were yesterday or the week before. We need to always be moving forward, but it can feel really exhausting, especially if you're doing it on your own. So to have a group of gals just cheering you on, twice a month we meet on Zoom and talk about the books. Like, if that's it. It's just twice a month and it's a fun conversation. And then I love sending out, you know, different opinions on things and articles and videos. So that way people can just inundate their mind with whatever topic we are exploring that month. So that is the No Guilt Book Club. And it's for any women that are interested in growing and not feeling guilty about it.
That's awesome.
I have a completely random question.
Ooh, those are the best. Bring it.
So you talked about one of the books you're going to be talking about is Enneagram. I know that there are – it's kind of split in, you know, within Christians. So what is your opinion on it? I haven't – I have some people in my family who are into it and then some who are like – no, that's not biblical. Like, what is your opinion?
Yeah. So I believe that everything can be used for good if God is in it, right? Mm-hmm. And so yoga is also something, right, that Christians are really divided on. Like, you go into a church, like, they're going to be divided on communion, on greeting time, like, on everything. Yeah. So on the Enneagram, for me, it's all about a tool. It's a resource. It's a point of reference. Now, do I believe it's always spot on? No, but it is just a very helpful for me to understand myself as well as my husband and any type of information and tools that I can help. I can have to help me understand my husband. I am going to receive it. Do I feel that like God like created it specifically and like touched it? No. I mean, it is just a really cool tool to use. And I think that if we put anything above God, that is idolatry. And so we should always be going to him and tapping into him on who you are. But he also creates amazing like supplements to learn about him and the people that he created.
That's true. I've actually heard people say like Enneagram is horoscopes for a Christian.
Interesting. Yeah. Right? And you know what? I really like, I wouldn't want to try to argue with them because if they feel that like strongly about it, it's really important that people have different like spiritual sensitivities, right? Like I can't watch Harry Potter. I can't do anything with like magic. It just is too much. So I totally respect people that feel that way, but I also don't, there's nowhere in the Bible that it says don't do that. If it did, then I wouldn't do that for sure. But it's honestly kind of like each to their own. Unless it's a salvation question, there's a lot of freedom. We have free will. God gave that to us.
Good answer.
Thanks.
I was thinking, I'm like, does it say in the Bible, don't watch Harry Potter?
I knew that's what you were thinking right now.
No, it doesn't. But it's my own sensitivity, right? So like I drink, my husband doesn't. But that's because it's his sensitivity and he knows that he just feels like God just doesn't want him to drink. I don't feel that same conviction. And so it even says in the Bible that we're not supposed to judge other people on by what they eat or what they drink. It really is between them and the Lord or what they read or what they watch, right?
That's true.
I think the only thing in the Bible that would even come close to that would be it says not to entertain evil. So I guess it would
depend. Are you talking about Harry Potter?
Harry Potter. So I guess it would depend on how you perceive Harry Potter.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't allow any scary movies in my home. It's not allowed to be played in my house whatsoever. A lot of people criticize me for that. But because the Bible says not to entertain evil, that to me is welcoming it in your home. And I try and stay far away from all of that. Thank you. But I mean, Harry Potter, it's a cute little fairy tale movie. That's for my little nerd.
You said for your little, like, am I your little nerd?
You're my little nerd today.
I should have worn my Harry Potter sweatshirt.
You should have. Wait, Tabitha's wearing a good one today. What does it say, Tabitha? Yeah,
stand. It says salty and lit up for Jesus.
That's nice. What's the
you got to stand?
What's the verse on it? Matthew 5:13-16.
Matthew 5:13-16.
I love it.
It talks about being the salt and the light.
Ah, oh, sweet.
But I just put my own little spin to it.
Did you make
love
that?
Love it.
I did.
You did?
I'm not creative at all, and I totally made the shirt. Yeah.
Sweet.
Okay. I have shirt slogans pop through my head on a daily,
yeah.
And it's so often that Ashley writes them down now.
Yeah.
What was the one yesterday?
I can't say. Someone might steal it.
Oh. It was
really good.
Yeah. It was really good.
Yeah.
All the time.
So on Canva, oh, yeah. I don't know if you guys have ever used Canva.
Yeah.
You can
buy it through
buy
Canva?
A shirt. For $20, like wow. Whatever it is.
Oh, and we're then, in trouble
I
now.
I didn't know you could Canva buy it through Canva. It. I actually designed my music uh-huh. merch, one of them, the men's shirts through Canva, but I didn't, I had them made. I didn't make it. Like, I didn't know. You
it's probably cheaper to have them made, but I just wanted to be efficient to even see if I liked it.
So, oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Did they do a good quality shirt?
You know, this one is my husband actually, unbeknownst to me, made me a shirt too. We made the same one. Talk about great minds think alike. And his wasn't as good as the one that I picked, but yeah, this one was a good one.
I love it. Shout out to Canva.
Yes.
Maybe they should sponsor an episode.
Oh, all right. Bring it on. All right, Tabitha. Well, it was such a pleasure speaking with you today. Is there anything else you want to share with our listeners?
Yes, that God loves you and to take time to rest. And when you feel like you're just going 1,000 miles a minute, like take a minute to slow down and like really focus on what's most important and just trust God. And he's going to show up for you.
In all things you do.
Exactly.
Love it. All right.
Well, where can everyone find you on social and whatnot?
Yeah. So you can find me on, I have a podcast, the Life Edit mm-hmm. podcast with Tabitha Perry, and on Instagram and Facebook, Tabitha Perry Life.
Awesome. And you are open for business. If anyone is interested, they can head over to your website and you have a,
absolutely.
You have a
free. The No Guilt Book Club.
Yes, that too.
Yep. Yep. And then there's a free consultation. If you're just like, oh my gosh, my life's a mess. Help. I would love to talk with you about it as well. And then I do individual coaching sessions as well. Just kind of needing like a tune-up. I'm your girl.
Awesome. If you need a tune-up.
I love it. She's a human mechanic.
Exactly. There's your next shirt. Thank you, Amber.
You see?
So
she just
good.
Doesn't, like, yeah,
so
it just
good.
Comes out of her mouth and she doesn't even think like that. And I'm like, okay, sure. Got it. Writing it down. She doesn't know she's
so
got the goods.
Work, like such a great team.
Yeah.
You're a great team.
I love
well,
it.
Well, thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Tabitha, for joining us today. We really appreciate it. You can find me at ashley.reed. And you can find us at Uncommon Faith Podcast on Instagram, as well as emailing us at uncommonfaithpodcast@gmail.com. Amber.
And you guys can find me at Adonia by Amber on Instagram.
You're going to have to spell it, though.
It is Adonia by Amber.
Now, how do you spell Amber?
Amber.
Oh man, every time.
Got that one.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Well, until next time, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you guys so much. Bye.